chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're still looking at verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, it was interesting that, as I stated in my prayer, when the elders meet before we come in here to pray, Bill prayed that this would not be an intellectual exercise, and that is exactly what I would not want this to be, an intellectual exercise. Because I know how easy that is to be the case. Looking back at this, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. That's the first part that we're looking at, and that is what we're focusing on at this point. There are a couple of things that I said early on as we began looking at this, and one was consideration is an important part of Christian character. Nowhere more important than in the discipline of the tongue. In the discipline of the tongue. Do not forget those three words. The discipline of the tongue. I made the statement that you've heard how it's said in carpentry, measure twice, cut once. That means that before you pick up that saw, before you get that skill saw or that hand saw in your hand, you better measure twice. And any of you that have done any woodworking at all know exactly what I'm talking about. You measure once and sure enough, you measure wrong. And after you make that cut, it's too late. You have to go back. Well, it's the same way with our speech, with the use of the tongue. We need to think twice and speak once. Now that all sounds good when we're sitting in here and we're hearing it and we acknowledge it and we say, yes, I believe that. I do believe that. But how do we get down to doing it is the question. How do we get down to remembering it? Spurgeon said, a couple of other statements, we need to be about the business of cultivating a pondering mind. Cultivating a pondering mind. That means that that's something that I have to do within myself. Cultivating is work. That has to do with farming, plowing, tending the ground, pulling weeds, planting, harvesting, cultivating a pondering mind. That means that I'm going to ponder. What am I going to ponder? I'm going to ponder words that I'm going to speak before I speak them. Bridget says, how often have you had to ponder over your speaking hastily? Many stumblings have been made by speaking from the impulse of the moment, from warm feelings rather than well-balanced and considered judgment. And Spurgeon says, hasty words are but for a moment on the tongue, but they lie for years on the conscience. And that which Paul spoke about this morning in the opening reading was also a quote from Spurgeon, and that is that unbelief takes up a corner of the heart of the firmest believer, and out of that corner it will vent many spiteful things against the Lord in the course of providence if things don't go just our way that we want them to go. Now we looked at several different examples. One was Joshua. Joshua acted hastily as well. Joshua did not seek the Lord's counsel when the Gibeonites came to him. Joshua was moving along and everything was going well with Joshua. And Joshua at that point acted in self-confidence and did not seek the Lord's face. We looked at David. David and Nabal. Nabal was a terrible individual. David was a considerate man. And David's men protected Nabal's men in the field. And he was a protection for Nabal's men. And when Nabal's men went back, or when David's men went back to Nabal to ask for some food, Nabal said, "Who is this David? There's many people that are risen up right now at this time and separate themselves from their master. Who is this David, this son of Jesse? Away with you." And he gave them no food. David also responded, but in a different way than Joshua did. It wasn't that Joshua did not respond. He did not seek counsel of the Lord. And in David's response, he responded out of anger. And then we have Peter. The Lord had been telling his disciples what was going to take place and that he was going to have to suffer. And Peter steps in and he says, "Lord, no, you won't." And I'm paraphrasing here. "Be it far from you to have to suffer like this." And the Lord dealt very severely with Peter for those hasty words. He even called him Satan. "Get behind me, Satan." And he had just told Peter how blessed he was prior to this. And then Peter responds with these words when the Lord is talking about going to the cross and his crucifixion. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ or not." Now remember, Peter, in verse 58, followed the Lord Jesus afar off. And skipping down to verse 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, I've thought a lot about this last week, by reasons which you'll understand as we move along here. I'm going to try and teach two truths at the same time here. The first one deals with that which we're looking at in Proverbs 15:28. About the danger of all of these things that we've looked at, about speaking amiss, especially when we are in a hurry, as Spurgeon said, or when we are angry. And we saw that example with David and how he was going to deal with Nabal. Remember Spurgeon's words that I quoted? Hasty words are but for a moment on the tongue, but they are often lie for years on the conscience. And when you and I are not about the business of this cultivating a pondering mind, and I mean when we are not actively engaged in doing it. Not actively engaged in that cultivating process. At that time, we are failing to do so. And we are failing to set a watch for our souls and for our mouth. And we can almost be assured of speaking amiss. Almost be assured of it. We first had that example of Joshua. Joshua was a powerful, powerful leader. And he was like a steamroller moving along. And he had great confidence. He had self-confidence. And so he failed to ask counsel of God when the Gibeonites came in unto him. When things are going well, when things are going well with us, we have that tendency to become self-confident. We have that tendency to, when in your spiritual life, when things are going well and you're reading well and you're praying well and you're studying well and the Word is just coming alive to you, at those times you are so blessed. And if you've experienced that, you know what I mean. It's just a tremendous blessing in your soul. And it slowly comes in, and you think that you're just something that you are not. You begin to think that God's blessing is truly upon you, as it may well be. And that you're very strong at this point. You're at one of your strongest points, you may think. And as soon as you think that, you're probably at one of your lowest points and don't realize it. You become self-confident. And that's what Joshua did. And then David, in David's rage against Nabal, this is one of the of paramount importance. Because like self-confidence with Joshua, then you have anger with David. And when Nabal came in, Nabal, he was selfish, he was inconsiderate, he was disrespectful, and he was arrogant. And we all hate those traits in others. It's something that we don't like, and we especially don't like it. And we especially don't like it if we see it coming toward us personally. If we see that selfishness and that inconsiderate attitude and that disrespect and that arrogance, if we see that coming directed directly at us, we don't like it. And it's very difficult to deal with. And just as much as it was difficult for David to deal with. And David wasn't going to merely, as I stated last week or 2 weeks ago, he wasn't going to be willing to just send his army in to deal with Nabal. He wanted to go himself and to be part of that revenge upon this selfish, inconsiderate, disrespectful, and arrogance of Nabal. And then when you couple what we've read about of Peter, how that the Lord tells Peter, "Peter, you are blessed. You are blessed above many men." And then right on the heels of that, Peter sinning against the Lord, speaking up in a hasty way and saying, "Lord, you're not going to have to die. We'll die with you." The Lord having to rebuke him. And then right on the heels of that, the Lord being taken, being delivered up by Judas, and then Peter, who was so bold just hours before, now was denying the Lord. Did Peter remember the words before he spake? Or did he remember God's words after he spoke? It was after he spoke. One maid says, I think you're one of Jesus' bands. No, I'm not. No, I am not. Another one comes to him and says the same thing. I'm certain that you're one of Jesus' people. No, I am not. And a third one comes to him, and then he is so adamant he begins to curse and swear and says, "I am not associated with this Jesus." And then when the cock crew, he remembered God's words. And my dear friends, I'm telling you that happens with us. And it happens with us all very much too often. We sit in here and we hear the Word of God preached. And we do believe it. And what's worse is to stand up here and to give out the Word of God. Study it. Know it. Believe it. Preach it. And to turn around and to do such a thing. A horrible, horrible thing. That happened to me this week. 2 weeks ago, I preached this message. I preached this message right here. I spoke these very words that you've heard this morning. I read this verse. Proverbs 15. The verse that we've been looking at. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." And I had a situation. And I thought about this, and I've run this over in my mind all week, whether or not to say this. I had a situation where I received an email that was addressed to several people at the office.
at my work, including my boss.
And it was from one of our managers. And he made an accusation in that email in a roundabout way, so as to not be an out-and-out accusation, but in a way that it couldn't be missed either. And when I read that, I was absolutely enraged. At that point, I was not cultivating a pondering spirit. At that point, I was not ready to seek the Lord's face in prayer, as I told you we should be. At that point, all I could think of was anger. That was going to be answered, and it was going to be answered by one of the other people in our office. Everyone was upset with this, especially with it being also sent to our boss. The other person came to me and asked me to review what they were going to write. And I reviewed it, and I wasn't going to let it go at that. They merely answered the questions that were listed there. I said, you can't let this go, the statement at the bottom. This needs to be dealt with. So they did. They put something in there about that and said that to this person, highlighted, bolded everything, underlined, you spoke in a very uninformed manner. Sent it back to everyone, including our boss. Another email comes back from the individual. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. But then it went on, and he could not let it go. He was going to still have to put something in there that dealt with me personally. And this time I was just over the top. And as soon as that came back, I made a response. I made a response. I did not do any of the things that I've said that we should do. As soon as I made that response, I knew at that point, all of this came back like a video screen in front of me. I remembered everything that I had just preached a week before. I remembered those words in Matthew of Peter when he recalled the Lord's words to him. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and I remembered the words of Jesus at that point as well. And I thought to myself, How can you possibly stand up there and preach a message like that and turn around in 3 days and commit the very sin, the very exact sin that you just preached against? How can you do that? You can do that by not watching, by not praying, by not pondering, by all the things that were given out at the very beginning. And so, what I'm saying to you is, and that prayer this morning about that this would not be an intellectual exercise, I think that so often it is so easy, not that we do it purposely, but it is so easy for the preaching to become just that, an intellectual exercise, while we know it in our minds, when the actual occasion arises, that is where we have to know it. We have to know it then. And our tongue is above all things most evil. That's when you have to go back. And then, this is the first half. The second half is coming tonight, because there's another lesson in all of this. But it behooves us, as we sit under the preaching of the Word and we hear it, that we ask the Lord to burn it upon our hearts, that we know it in our heart, that when we find ourselves in that situation, that we do not do what is our natural inclination, to respond immediately, to react immediately, to react in anger. And we're not going to be settled with just a few words of yes or no, or I'll take care of that, or I'll deal with this. We're going to deal with this person step by step by step by step, until there's nothing left of that individual but dirt. We can do it so well. We can be so cutting with our tongues. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, the sin of the tongue, so much spoken of in Your Word. Do we think within ourselves that Your Word contains so much instructions at a happenstance? Do we think that it is for no reason at all? Or do we realize that it is because of me? That it is because how I am by nature that I need this instruction? Lord, help us. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In regard to this, to the passage that we are looking at, the verse that we are looking at, help us, O Lord, to think carefully upon our speech. We pray that You would forgive us, O Lord, of our sins which are ultimately against You. Ultimately against You. We pray that You would forgive us and that You would grant us repentance and conversion. Help us to stay the course, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.